Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and I'm delighted to be welcoming back Celia Burke. Hi, Celia.
Hi there.
Celia's back. She was here about 6 months ago to chat about the first two EPs in her project called Four Seasons of Song. She was here in June talking about spring and summer, and she's now here talking about autumn and winter. The winter segment of this project came out just a few days ago. Congratulations on completing the project.
Thank you.
I know it's been a very interesting, challenging, but I think you would have to admit very fulfilling. I mean,
yes.
Very fulfilling and satisfying project. I mean, I know as a listener, it's been amazing to track the progress of the project and to kind of listen and experience each of the four EPs as they have come out, because you've been working with some new people behind the scenes, which I think has been pushing you a little bit in different directions. And the song choices, you're always wonderful at picking songs because you're sort of like this musical archivist, treasure hunter person.
I call myself a musical truffle hound.
Yes, yeah. Exactly what you are. So because you're always finding like the most appropriate, interesting, obscure, sometimes obscure songs to fit on your albums. But this time you found for each EP, there were four songs and the arrangements were kind of unique to each EP for each season. But at the same time, it's sort of a very cohesive project in the sense that spring blended into summer, and then summer blended into autumn, and autumn blends into winter. And as we will talk about winter, you very cleverly picked a song to then loop into spring again, which I thought was very, very clever, but we'll get to that. So
thank you for catching that.
I did. But let's talk a little bit about kind of overall, what sort of attracted you kind of throughout the whole project to what attracted you to like the specific songs you were kind of picking? What were you looking for when you were picking the songs for all four of those pieces in terms of like an overall theme?
It became increasingly a process of elimination. So mm-hmm. The hardest choices were spring because we could have gone in any direction. And as you said, it was a new collaboration with Balint Varga, who did all the arrangements and the orchestrations. And we had this massive pile of music. He likes to say there were thousands of songs when he walked in. There were maybe 100, and even that is overstating, but he tells everybody there were thousands of songs. So that was the hardest choice, because we didn't know each other. We were using this as a way into a new collaboration, and we just had the criteria that we both had to like the song, and we both had to do what I call the little head tilt, where we both went, because you're going to spend months and months of your life inside these songs, so you better like them. So that was the hardest to find. And then every season got easier because even when we would pull out the stack that I had for the next season, and I kept adding to them, I didn't tell him that because he was already out there telling people I had thousands. So I wasn't going to say 1,001 on the pile now. But we would go, no, we already have a song like that in spring. We don't want to repeat that. And so that was the first way we narrowed it down, was to not do anything that in any way felt duplicative. And then for each one, we kind of had a little heading as to what kind of a vibe we wanted for the next season. So when you eliminated songs that were great, but seemed like we'd already done something like that, and then said no, but we said this one was going to be unplugged beach summer jazz, then it immediately starts whacking the list down.
Mm-hmm.
So we got faster and faster at choosing it until we got to the very end. And then we got a little slowed down for the last couple of songs in winter. We had choices, but we weren't completely enthusiastic until we until we got to the very end. And I love what we ended up choosing.
So talk about, I guess one of the questions I have, because I don't know if I asked you this the last time, but every season sort of evokes a specific, I guess, a specific mood or theme or,
yes,
or kind of thoughts. And I think they just naturally do to us in general, oftentimes dictated by the weather or by events, because there are certain kind of events that happen in life at different times of the year. You've got certain holidays, you've got certain just life type events that happen, like school starts in the fall or people graduate, or there's Mother's Day or Father's Day. There's like all the different kinds of things that happen at specific times throughout the year. And those kind of fall within how we feel about certain things at different times of the year. When you were kind of deciding on the songs, was the decision made first as in, okay, so, and we can do this talking about autumn, because that's the first, we'll talk about autumn first. Mm. Was it a decision, was it, okay, well, how, what's the mood or the kind of the feeling we have about autumn, and then we'll kind of focus that on songs. So we know autumn is sort of about loss or you know, maturity, reaching maturity. I know that you had mentioned that to me at one point. So we're going to go with that kind of theme, and therefore let's focus on songs that express that. I mean, was that the sequence?
That was kind of the sequence, and to not get too dark.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there are elements of loss, the image of leaves falling off a tree, those are leaves, even though they're this burst of color, these are dying leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought of it more in terms of an inward gathering, a taking stock, being reflective, as opposed to being just dark, like a loss that had nothing positive in it. So it was, even where there's loss in these songs, there's learning, there's growing up, there's being, there's the sense that you're looking back and looking forward at the same time. So we really kept pushing and pulling until we got four songs that would meet those criteria and not be cutesy. So we looked at some things that would have been spooky or scary, because Ballant loves Halloween for some reason. So we uh-huh. looked at those, but it wasn't working. But once we got those taking stock, inward gathering, reflective in them, and a sense of something coming to maturity, then we had the right lens to pick the songs.
Autumn, obviously, the leaves represent, you know, the leaves are dying. But at the same time, autumn is really just part of the cycle of renewal, because,
yes,
know, because those exact same trees that all lose their leaves and have no leaves during winter reburst with new life in spring. You know, they all come back refreshed in spring. And so you can't look at autumn as that dark, ultimately. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's part of the cycle of renewal in nature. And it's also harvest season. So it's when, you know,
that's
it's,
right.
So it's a totally bountiful type season for a lot of things. It's when we do, it's also Thanksgiving is fall. So it's a time
yeah.
to, it's a time to like assess your life and give thanks to what you have, for what you have, and to share that with people. So it's sort of, it's an interesting season, because it's when things start to get chilly, but a lot of people also, I think you have to get the feeling I get when it's fall is that it's time to spend with others and to share and to be communal with others. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So it's more positive yeah. than just the dying leaves, right?
Yes. And as you know, we looked at the whole thing as cycles, part mm-hmm. of a larger cycle. And every season had a very deliberate pivot into the next season. And as you said, the last song in winter absolutely is a pivot back to spring. We didn't want any of it to be ending full stop. It may have been the conclusion of something, but it's not the end. It's mm-hmm. the pivot to the next part of the annual cycle, which was a really interesting thing to think about, to channel into the interpretations and the arrangements, and to use as a filter for the songs. I mean, there are just so many gorgeous songs out there about autumn, about all the seasons.
Right. And you came up with a very interesting set of four for autumn. I mean, you do have a song called Autumn, obviously, which is a Maltby and Shire song. But tell the story about Indian Summer, because people will think, oh, well, wait, Indian Summer, why is there a summer song on here? But Indian Summer is not really a summer song.
No, it's an interesting
story.
Yeah. And I think that it's not the only song out there called Indian Summer. And just like there is more than one song about September also. Mm-hmm. So I've had some people say they thought they were listening to one song and realized they were listening to another. But Indian Summer, I had heard it at a friend's show, my friend Lisa Vigiano, who's a wonderful singer. And she had a new collaboration with this really incredible pianist, Wells Handley. And they did this wonderful evening. And about three quarters of the way through, they did this song, and she said, and this song was written by Wells. And my head snapped up, and I was early in creating the pile of 1,000 songs and said, that goes on it. And I wrote to her and said, you know, would you introduce me to him? And she said, oh, I'll give you the song. And she gave me the song. And I played a version of it. Lisa hadn't recorded hers yet. She was about to for Ballant, and he loved it. And then I spoke to Wells, and he explained that this was part of a series of songs that he had written that were inspired by people's real life stories. So this is not a made up scenario at all, which I think is part of what makes it so great. You know, it is very specific. The language is very specific. The imagery is very specific because it's the story of two people finding each other late in life, mm-hmm. With some mysticism about how they sense each other out there and how they find each other, and they fall into this very intense relationship, and then he gets sick and dies within the year. And so this is her song of coming to terms with what he means in her cycle, really. Mm-hmm. He was her late in life, burst of color, burst of warmth, burst of passion, her Indian summer. And it's just an incredible song.
Though I knew you would be my last, when the breeze came in warm and the trees came to life, I didn't know it would go so fast. Our love was such a late comer, it put to shame every forecast there was. And though it has ended, you showed me my Indian summer. Love will show up when it does. Now outside the mountain is covered, and the frost on the field came so cold. But here on my hearth is a place we discovered that is golden and never grows old, where the flowers are still in their season and the fragrance is fresh as the dawn. You came and you went, but old Indian summer, you showed me that life still goes on. And oh, look how alone we both were, believing that's how it always would be. for year upon year, until out of the clear you found me. And I found you. Until out of the clear you found me, and I found you. I found you. So when daylight seems to be dying, and the leaves one by one letting go, and December creeps in like the cold kiss of death, I am comforted now, for I know that no matter how harsh is the bitter wind, and no matter how hard is the ground, sometimes unexpectedly a warm summer rain can blow into overall removing the stain of the time spent in longing, in grief and in pain, and all the flowers can bloom and the fields fill with grain, and the cup that was empty spills over again, and the harvest can feel far away. And so even though Indian summer you had to go, you stay.
And it's also the story, also because it's written by Wells Hanley, and based on, like you said, a true story about a woman he knew or knows, and your friend recorded it, and you've now recorded it. And it also is a really interesting testament, and I think a really wonderful example of interpretations of songs, and yep. how every singer, because I think people have to remember that no matter how popular a standard is or how well-written a song is, every singer brings their own life experiences to a song, and they put their own interpretation, and that adds to their interpretation of the song. Because your version of the song is totally different than your friend's, is totally different than anybody else's, just because of what your life experience adds to the song. And
that's
You know, and I think that you even had mentioned, because I read your song notes about the song, and I think in those notes, didn't you mention that Wells has heard your version, right?
Oh, yes, he has.
Yeah.
And it's the first time he's ever had a song recorded where he wasn't involved at all.
Right.
I met him. He came to New York and I said, "It's almost done." And he said, "I know I'm going to love it." And I said, "Don't say that." Yeah, it's going to be very different than what you've done with Lisa. And you don't have to say you love it if you don't love it. But I do hope that you will say that we treated it with love and respect. And then he loved it, which was a great relief to me. And Lisa loved it. I sent it to her as well. And she said, "This is amazing. It's so different, but it's what I hear in my head every time I hear this song. There's something that you've done with it that it is what I have always heard since the first time I heard this song," which was amazing.
Yeah. And I talk about what the approach was in terms of, because one of the things I mentioned at the beginning of the show was that all four seasons, the arrangements have been very different. The musical arrangements that have been created for the songs have been very cohesive within each season, but each season has been a little bit different in terms of what instruments were used each season. What was the focus for Autumn, instrument-wise and arrangement-wise?
We started out with strings the first season, and we asked ourselves, could we pull from that original set of instruments for each of the other seasons? So, I mean, we didn't have a ukulele in spring, but we had a ukulele in summer, and we went back and forth between a bass and a cello, but we, by and large, it was strings. There's no horns in here. There's no percussion. Mm-hmm. You sometimes hear a musician beating on the side of a instrument to create a pounding sound of some kind, or a heartbeat or something like that. But this one was meant to be very lush and very cinematic. And it wasn't a case of Ballant just having the musicians play it, and then we overdub a second time so that three instruments sound like six instruments. He wrote a string sextet for these four songs. That means every instrument had an A part and a B part. So we would go through, and the violin, the viola, and the cello played their A part, and he would ask them to play as though they were in the first chair. Mm-hmm. And then he would say, all right, now think like the second chair, because different chairs in the orchestra have different responsibilities. And then he would say, okay, now we're going to do it one more time. And you're like the eighth violin, the eighth viola, the eighth, which means you're not even looking at the notes. You're just doing stuff. And he would ask them to play with different personalities. And then we would go to the B section. So you really couldn't hear the entire orchestration until the engineer merged the A section and the B section and the different kinds of personalities that they brought to each take together. And he created a string sextet. I mean, it's just amazing. And then I've had a lot of people say that it's their favorite season, which I did not expect. I really didn't. And some people said that because they think of my voice as a cello, they just felt like I slotted right in with the sextet, which I thought was a very lovely way of expressing the space that he left for me.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he did. And I think that that's a very accurate description, because he basically built a string section around you. Around your voice to highlight and feature it really features your vocals in a very different way than the other two seasons, which is
right.
But it's also very smart, because it fits the mood of Autumn so beautifully, because it kind of gives it this I don't want how to describe it I don't want to say it's dark, but it gives it a little bit more weight. It gives it a little bit more weight than summer. Whereas summer was
it's mature.
Summer was so, like you said, beachside jazz, and this is a little bit more. There's a little bit more gusty wind, maturity. There's a little bit more heavy. It's a little cloudy, gray skies, but it's a little bit different, and it's beautiful. Like I said, beautifully highlights your voice. Because you sink right into it, and never get lost, but you never get lost behind it, which is so nice.
It was a very difficult thing to mix from a engineering standpoint. There was a lot of moving parts, and to figure out where my voice sat and where the other instruments sat, and how to keep it all. And that was, I think, the hardest mixing process I've ever gone through with a recording. And it was engineered and mixed by Alex Wenger, who's a wonderful engineer. And we got to a certain point, and it wasn't quite there yet. not because of anything Alex was or wasn't doing. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to Scott Lehrer. I told everybody I need Scott, who couldn't engineer this season because he was out on the road with a show, but has known my voice since the very beginning. He's my through line when I record. He knows my voice. And I sent it to him, and he immediately had a thought of what needed to happen. And just went straight to Alex, and they talked about it. And the next mix that came in, I went, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was just something that, with everything going on, just wasn't sitting yet in exactly the right place. My recollection is that Scott suggested to Alex that he dry my voice a little bit.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
There are so many decisions that get made. And one is the quality of the voice, where you put those other musicians in the room, whether they're in the same position for every song, where they are in relation to the singer. And those were the conversations that we were having, plus this incredibly dense orchestration. So it was hard, but I think you can hear the end result. Alex did just full justice to what Ballant had created.
And we can't leave Autumn quite yet until we talk about probably one of the biggest, I don't think it's a challenge, I think, but I certainly think it was a risk. And that was the song September, which I remember, I think you told me about this when I saw you. Didn't you? I think you told me you were doing this. I think you had told me about this at some point.
I might have.
Because we saw each other when I was in New York back in beginning of May.
In the spring.
Yeah, in the spring. I think you had told me what you had picked your songs for Autumn, and this was one of the songs that I remember. I looked at you and I did the head tilt at that moment, thinking, you're doing what?
Yeah.
So you decided to tackle September by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Right.
As one of your
not
songs.
Not Strauss. Not Kurt Weill. Everybody had their own theory on what it was.
Yes.
But it's Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yes. Yeah. So, and it's certainly, it's definitely September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Done in a way you've never heard before. So talk about if it was a challenge, talk about the challenge of making this work and making it fit and what you and Ballant came up with.
I have to be honest and say that if it were in the first season, I don't think we would have done it because I don't think we had enough experience with each other under our belt, because I had to trust him with it. Because he said, I can hear it. You know, it was on the list. I put this pile in front of him. He's sitting on the couch and I'm doing song after song. And he goes, I love it. And I went, really? And he said, yes, and I know exactly what we can do with it. And I go, really? And I said, don't make me look foolish. And he said, no, I know exactly what we're going to do. It's going to be great. And I, at three seasons in, I went, all right, we're going to give it a try. Mm-hmm. And we did it. But each one of these songs, this was a scary season for me. This was a leap in various ways. To make sure it wasn't too dark and didn't scare people off. I don't think it did. To pick songs that you might go, you're doing what? And to have something that's arranged so tightly that I had to walk into that studio knowing exactly what I was about. I wasn't going to be given a whole lot of opportunities to go, wing it and see what comes out of my mouth. And, you know, then I can always punch it in if it, no, I had to know what I was doing. And he was asking me for a pop sensibility with the symphonic sound throughout the season. And that inferred certain things about what I should do vocally. Otherwise, it was going to sound stupid, frankly. Mm-hmm. It would have been like listening to some of the great opera singers, not that I'm comparing myself to them, but they would do popular song albums, and they didn't sound right because they took the same vocal approach, even mm-hmm. though they were singing Gershwin or Rodgers and Hart, and it was oversung. And so mm-hmm. I had to go away and really think about it and workshop it with my voice teacher, frankly, to get a pop song sound without looking and sounding stupid in reverse. And mm-hmm. so this was a leap for me mm-hmm. That I think changed things.
Do you remember the 21st night of September? Love was changing the mind's pretenders while chasing the clouds away. Our hearts were ringing in the key that our souls were singing as we danced in the night. Remember how the stars stole the night away. Say, do you remember dancing in September? Never was a cloudy day. Do you remember? Thoughts are with you, holding hands with your heart to see you. Only blue talk and love. Remember how we knew love was here to stay. Now December found the love that we shared. September, only blue talk and love. Remember the true love we shared today. Say, do you remember dancing in September? Never was a cloudy day. Say, do you remember dancing in September? Golden dreams were shiny days.
Adding September in there actually works to kind of balance the tone of the songs the collection, because it's the last song of the four, and it's sort of because the vast majority of people are going to know the song. It's a very, very popular hit song that people are going to remember. And they may not remember, they may not realize it until it starts going, and they're going to go, oh, wait a minute, this is the Earth, Wind, and Fire song. So it comes across as a little playful, because
it happened with the musicians in the studio. They started playing and they went, wait, is that song? And everybody started to laugh.
but they can see what you're doing with it. and you go with it and you take it, and I don't mean this in a negative way. You take it seriously in the sense that you commit to it and you go with it, and it works because you and Ballant have created a totally different arrangement, and you are taking the lyrics as written seriously, and you're taking it as a legit song, which is what it is. And I don't think, and you're not making fun of the song. You are playing the song as written, as what it is. It's a bit of a celebratory, upbeat song that's a little anthemic. It's fun, and it's not, you're not doing it as a pop funk R&B song like they did it, but you're still doing it and getting the same message across. Does that make sense?
It does. And the phrase I had in my head as I was working my way through it, and people have said, this is the first time I really listened to the lyrics. And,
right.
And there are good lyrics in there, because sometimes you get these songs, you slow them down, and there's nothing to sing because the lyrics are just like inane. Mm-hmm. This one has an arc to it. But
right.
For me, I thought of it as a kind of mystical incantation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard in his arrangement, even when I heard just a piano demo of it. And in my mind, it related back to Indian Summer, which has this big build towards the end where she's just standing on the cliff and just throws everything out there into the universe. And I throw my voice out there. And to me, our version of September is very similar to that. You are throwing it out into the universe and saying, this is my story. And as long as I kept that in my head and in mm-hmm. my mind, the song made sense the way I was doing it. But if I had gotten up there and was thinking, you know, dance moves and disco outfit and all uh-huh. it just would have been dopey. But as I said, the whole season was about being brave
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to Winter, which is interesting because I read the album notes that you wrote and that Ballant wrote, and you guys went for a fun kind of jazzy celebratory approach to Winter, which yeah. I think is really the right approach. I mean, some people would think, oh, Winter is cold and frigid and snow, and but it really is a celebratory season, which I think people forget. I mean, it really is ultimately. It's most people, it's a lot of holidays, there's a lot of getting together, it's the new year, is it the renewal of the new year? There's a lot of celebration stuff despite the inclement weather that we generally are dealing with in the United States and in this hemisphere. So talk about picking the songs, and also at some point also talk about picking your final song,
yes.
which I thought was a very interesting story. First off, the hunt for that song, because it was kind
yes.
of your truffle hunting
yes.
urges came in, and finding that song that would transition you back into the cycle of spring. So talk about that.
Yeah, so we got pretty quickly to Warm in December, Let It Snow, and Let's Start the New Year Right.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them are about the holidays per se, except for the introduction to Let's Start the New Year Right, which is clearly sets it in on New Year's Eve. But we were going, as you said, for not hunkering down, but you have to stay warm at this time of the year. So you stay warm by huddling together
mm-hmm.
and you get warmth from each other, and being together is a joyful thing. So once we set those parameters about being together and being joyful, we had our little tagline filter lens for looking for the songs. We could not find the fourth song. I kept putting stuff in front of Ballant, and he wasn't enthusiastic. And our rule was, if we didn't both love it, we weren't going to do it. So I started doing keyword searches, sitting on Spotify for days, and I keyword searched by singers that I really admired. And then the holidays, and then the word winter and snow and all of those things. And one of the singers that I looked at was June Christie, who I love.
A
wonderful singer. And out popped Love Turns Winter to Spring. And I thought, that's it, because you got to have a pivot back to the beginning of the year. And it's a great song. And it is a really good song. And it is stuck in my head. And I'm still, months later, walking down the street singing The Bridge. I mean, there's just something about it that's just a really cool hidden gem.
Don't mind the weather, for when we're together, old weatherman don't mean a thing. If it rains or it snows, why, everyone knows, love turns winter to spring. All of a sudden, the rosebuds are budding. It's such a miraculous thing. For like some lovely dream, with romance its theme, love turns winter to spring. I thought the cold old snow would stay and stay and stay and stay. But in the warmth of your wonderful smile, it melted all away. I'll never wonder at lightning and thunder. To me, they just don't mean a thing. With the song of the birds and your lovely words, love turns winter to spring. Weather below zero, and in the summer about fiddling like Nero. But now I'll never care if it's cold or if it's fair. I'll never wonder at lightning and thunder. To me, they just don't mean a thing. With the song of the birds and your lovely words, love turns winter to spring. Love turns winter to spring. With the song of the birds and your lovely words, love turns winter to spring.
That's how we got to the four. And as we were sitting and going through the big pile for winter, all of a sudden Balin said, we should do an epilogue. And I said, okay, I'm good with that. And he said, not a long epilogue, just a little quote of something to put a button on the whole thing. And I said, I'm fine with that too. And he said, This is on me. This last one will be on me. And I said, thank you. And he immediately said, Seasons of Love from Rent. And I went, maybe. I don't know. It's not a hidden gem, so I don't know. It doesn't seem to be an epilogue to a series of songs that are mostly hidden gems. And I have other songs that are in my back pocket for future projects. But the more I looked at them, the more I realized that he was right, that because we were going to do an abbreviated version of something, it had to be instantly recognizable. Otherwise, by the time you finished, people were still going, what is that song? Mm-hmm. That's an interesting melody. Who wrote it? What are the words? But when you hear the start of Seasons of Love, you know exactly what it is. Chances are you know at least the opening lyrics, and so mm-hmm. you immediately pull somebody in. So we did two versions. We kept going back and forth, going, no, the slightly longer one is better. No, the shorter one is better. So I said, let's record them both. When we listened to the first rough mix that Scott Lehrer did, I said, I can tell you right now that I just sang the shorter version better. I don't know whether I just got to the point faster or I was just in the pocket for it. And Scott just said, wait until we mix all four songs. It will tell you what mm-hmm. version is the right epilogue. And it was just me and Ballant. And that was the other way we were going to differentiate it, was that there are no strings. He's sitting at the piano. I'm looking at him through the isolation booth, and we are recording together. And so it really is about, look at what we did together, look at mm-hmm. through how we came through this journey, this year together. And there was no question that it was the version that we did. And I thought what he did was just really lovely.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and it, the short, I mean, I obviously have not heard the longer version, but the short version is, it's sort of just like the perfect little punctuation mark at the end.
Correct. It's just a button.
It's a button right at the end, and that's all you really needed. Because it started, and I wasn't looking at the times of or anything. I just was listening to the whole thing together. And you started it, and I went, is she going to sing the whole song? I was like, because I don't know that it really makes sense for her to sing the whole song, because the song itself kind of gets a little repetitious after a while. And it builds with it's a group number. Yeah. There's a lot of voices, and it doesn't, to me, would never work solo with just you and a piano, because it doesn't have a way to build then, unless you're going to add strings and it's going to get bigger. And I thought, but then it ends perfectly. It's sort of like, it's the nice, perfect little button at the end of the four songs. You get this little nice little epilogue that is the perfect little wrap up to wrap up the whole project. It's not, and that's when I realized, I said, oh, this is not just a wrap up to this EP. This is a wrap up to the whole four EPs.
Yeah.
This is the perfect little ending little mark for the whole project. So it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect.
I know, and he gets really full credit for it. Mm-hmm. And when it got mastered by Oscar Zambrano, who does all the mastering and does mastering for all the cast albums and just these amazing releases every year, he just fell madly in love with it. And he left like extra seconds before you go to it, and then it was kind of a slightly different volume. So it's the only thing we had to go back and ask him to look at. He said, I know, I fell in love with the epilogue. I just loved it.
Real quickly, before we leave winter, talk about the arrangements too, because the arrangements are again, slightly different because of the feel you're going for.
I think they're very different. I think they echo where we started with Spring, so that if you went back on a loop and started all over, it would lead you there. But
exactly.
This is what I call gypsy jazz, mm-hmm. or what Ballant calls gypsy jazz, and it's Django Reinhardt kind of jazz. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the musicians that you pick each season, they've been wonderful, but I think every musician has a sweet spot. I think I have a sweet spot, and you wouldn't drop me into doing a regular version of September, for example. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the only musician who has appeared twice is the violinist, who was in September as well. And she's very much a jazz violinist, a fiddle player. Mm-hmm. And I think you really hear it as a fiddle on this. Mm-hmm. And then we have this amazing bass player, Trevor Robertson, who I first worked with when I did 54 Below with Ballant in the spring, and a really fun guitarist, Ken Malikova. And it feels like a jazz session. And I had asked Ballant after that really tight, intense orchestration in autumn to just leave room for everybody to play. Mm-hmm. And then it all got handed over to Scott Lehrer to make sense of it all, because each take was very different. And so I think he brought a really good sensibility to what he chose and right. how he mixed it.
But I have to say, you know, after listening to the whole thing, if you listen to the whole thing, which I've now been able to do, from starting with spring and going all the way through winter, and listening to, you know, all 16 songs in order, which you can do, it all works very, it, you know, it, and you literally could, this is one of those things you could actually listen to it on repeat, because it all works as a cycle. And once you get to winter and you get to that last song before the epilogue of Love yes. Turns the Winter to Spring, you literally can start spring right over, and
right.
it all works, because first off, you sound terrific on every single track, because it's so well done. And even though you can tell the shift from season to season to season, because the thematically, they're all a little bit different, and arrangement wise, they're all a little bit different, there's still a cohesion to the whole entire piece that it feels like an album. So that's the next question, are there plans to release it as an album, as yes. a complete album?
Yes. And one of the first conversations that we're having is absolutely about what you just talked about. I don't want to put out an album and have people shuffle it. Mm-hmm. I want them to play it as they cycle. Mm-hmm. And if they want to hear an individual track or shuffle it, it's out there as individual tracks as the four EPs. So it's not like you can't shuffle it, but I want a version where it is a song cycle. Mm-hmm. And so as I was leaving the day that we did the final mixes, we started talking to Oscar about that, and whether he felt it would work or whether anything needed to be remastered. And he said he didn't think anything needs to be remastered. The outlier is always going to be Autumn, in terms of how we had to wrangle that sound, that symphonic sound. He said there may be a volume adjustment. So as you and I are talking, somewhere out there, Oscar is putting it all into one big track, like you would if you listened to act one of an opera or something. Mm-hmm. And he's going to listen to it and give us his thoughts on whether anything needs to be adjusted. But it will come out, I think, as one big track for just that reason.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
And would you, I guess one of my questions would be, would you still leave the epilogue in there, or would you take the epilogue out to encourage people to play it on repeat?
I would leave the epilogue in, because the epilogue is coming out now as the fifth track of the winter EP.
Right.
And it's really not the fifth track of the winter EP. It's
yeah.
the epilogue of the four seasons.
Right.
So that's why I would leave it in.
Okay. Yeah. It just kind of struck me as to whether it would be part of the seasons, or whether it would be
I thought about that. I also wondered, should we leave it out, not release it with the EP? But
it kind of has to be part of the EP. That's interesting. So now that you've finished it,
yes.
what are you? I know you guys can't see, but she's got this huge grin on her face. It's like, oh my God, I'm so done. I am so done with this project. But are you happy? Are you thrilled? You must be.
I'm exhausted. I call the project, instead of Four Seasons of Songs, spring, summer, autumn, mm-hmm. winter, I call it Four Seasons of Song, what was I thinking? that it was going to be easier to do four seasons because the seasons arrive whether you're ready or not. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't fully factor that in. But I look forward to processing it because I just know that I have learned so much. And I'm not even sure all the things that I've learned. I know some vocal things that I've learned because the arrangements demanded it of me. I've learned some things because we had to keep going. And that was a very healthy thing for me. There's something that focuses the mind. It's sort of like the difference between just working on a piece of music and, oh, your show is going to mm-hmm. open in 3 weeks, whether you're ready or not. And it does something to your brain. And I think it did great things for me in terms of making a decision, moving on, not overthinking it, not getting precious about anything. I'd like to think I didn't drive everybody as crazy as I did before, but you'd have to ask Scott Lehrer that. I think I just drive him crazy. little thoughts. But I really wonder what I will take away as what I learned as a singer and as a collaborator and as a musician. From Ballant, and maybe what he learned from me that neither one of us expected at the beginning of this. We came through this and we're still friends. Mm-hmm. And we laugh and refer to things, and I'm sure we'll do other things together, but we just sort of joined hands and jumped off a cliff at the beginning of the year. And at one point I thought, oh, this is like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, mm-hmm. where they go, hell, the fall's going to kill you. It's not about landing in the water and you're going to drown. And the fall did not kill us. We took a leap and we both went for a really cool ride. And I just want to process it all. So ask me back in a couple of months and I'll tell you what
right.
I learned.
Are you now that all four the whole thing is out and will be hopefully in a full album. Do you think you're going to like perform the full
yes.
thing? You know,
yes.
do like four seasons of song as a
yes.
show? I mean, that would
yes.
make, because up to this point, you've only been able to do, oh, well, I'm doing like spring and summer and could perform those songs because autumn and winter weren't out. So you like could only do pieces of it. And now you've
got
the
summer
full
thing. Wasn't out either. When
yeah.
I was 54 Below in
yeah.
May, summer was coming out.
Yeah.
So the show was about a history of my recordings.
Yeah.
And we did a little sneak preview of some of the summer songs. But now mm. we have, as you said, four times
album.
Four, 16, 17 songs,
mm-hmm.
Or 17 tracks,
mm-hmm.
And we have a show. And you
yeah.
could do it sequentially. You could mix it and match it. You don't
right.
have to do, that's a lot of material. You don't have to do all
you
of it.
You don't have to do 16. You could do,
no.
you could do, you know, a few from each. With
but
obviously
enough to represent each
season.
Season.
Yeah, with
yeah.
with four costume changes.
and what do you do because the musicians were so different?
Exactly. Exactly.
So we have to figure out where mm-hmm. we want to try to do it and
mm-hmm.
with whom do we want to do it, but we absolutely want to perform the album and we will time it to when it is an album as opposed to a series
right.
of EPs.
Right.
So it'll be sometime mm-hmm. next year.
Perfect. Well, I'm assuming I have this question on my thing, but I think I already know the answer. So you don't have another four-part project scheduled anytime soon, I'm assuming.
No. And one of my best friends, I was telling him the Four Seasons of Songs, colon, what was I thinking? He said, oh, that's too bad, because I was just about to tell you that you should just do this every year. You
oh,
should just
God.
Come out with another one every season. I said, I'm hanging up now.
I was going to say, yes. Is he still alive?
I'm hanging up.
I know. I remember when you first told me about this project, and I think it was when you had finished spring and you were heading into the summer stuff, and And you were like, you know, I thought this was going to be easier, but then I suddenly now realize that I've set myself up for continual deadlines that are like nonstop deadlines for a full year, longer than a year, basically. It was just like nonstop deadlines. And
yes, because we started with the photo shoot in October 2024.
Yeah.
And spring came out in the first quarter of 2024.
And no sooner were you recording, you're recording one EP, then you're at the same time you're picking songs for the next one and doing a photo shoot for that one. And it was just
we did all the photo shoots at the same time.
Oh,
that's
you did?
The only thing I had the brains to do.
Oh,
was
I didn't realize
long,
you did that.
Epic. Yeah, I'm going to do a little video that shows all all over my apartment.
Oh, you should. Because you know me. And you know me. I've been like... The big secret is every time Celia would send me the next one, I'd always say, oh, this is great. The tracks are wonderful. And I'd always say, oh my God, the cover is gorgeous.
Yes, yes. I'm just lucky you listen to the music because I think you're just waiting for the next picture.
I was like, oh my God, these covers are gorgeous. Whoever the stylist is, oh my God.
Yes, Michael McGeehan was the stylist and Helene Blumfield was the photographer and Stefan Buchler did the design. I have a tech person who had to build me a new web page for every one of these EPs.
Oh,
and then you need to get your mechanical licenses and then you need to register your copyrights. It's been one long stress.
massive project. So I guess the answer is no, you do not have another one coming up. So
no.
This will make a regular album look easy.
Isn't that interesting? See, the law of unintended consequence.
Yes. This will make just a regular 12-track album seem like a piece of cake.
I didn't know that was possible, but I guess I've found the way to make it happen.
You found a way. Anyway, yes. Celia, it's absolutely always a delight to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for all your support and friendship and for always helping me to get what I do heard by an audience that really, listeners who really know their stuff.
Yeah, your albums are always so, so wonderful and you always find the best songs to convey what you want to convey. And I highly recommend it. Where people can find you online, obviously. We'll include a link to your site. And I tell people, please, please, please purchase digital downloads. We want to put as much money as we can into people's pockets. And as Celia said, the full album of Four Seasons of Song, at least that's what we think it's going to be called, Four Seasons of Song, will be coming out sometime in the new year. But in the meantime, all four EPs are available for you to get. So I definitely recommend them because they are really terrific. So again, thank you, Celia. And hopefully I will see you soon.
Yes, I hope so. You're due for a visit.
I am due for another New York trip very soon. So, thank you again.
Thank you.
One minute to midnight, one minute to go, one minute to say goodbye before we say hello. Let's start the new year right. 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light, let's begin kissing the old year out, kissing the new year in. Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start the new year right? Let's start the new year right. 12 o'clock tonight, when they dim the light, let's begin kissing the old year out, kissing the new year in. Let's watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start the new year right. Watch the old year die with a fond goodbye and our hopes as high as a kite. How can our love go wrong if we start